What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see. A certain word, democracy. What is America to me?
Hello, Nevada. It's now time for That's America to Me with your host, Chuck N. Baker.
Good morning, Southern Nevada. Another edition of That's America to Me. And I'm going to say hello to our friends in all over Clark County, all over Nye County, and maybe even out in Lincoln County. I got to get out there, turn on the radio once in a while. But anyway, we have a guest in the studio today. We're going to be talking with Marvin Carter. He's the executive director of a group called HOBS, H-O-B-S. That stands for Helping Our Brothers and Sisters. So, Marvin, what we always do to start out is we open up the curtain and we let the audience get a look at our guests. So let's see if they know you.
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I got some fans out there, I guess.
Thank you.
So, Marvin, you are a retired major in the Marine Corps. And tell me, when did you form the HOBS organization?
I did in 2008.
Mm-hmm. And what was the impetus behind that?
I had been doing a lot of charity work before. The accountants that I worked with at that time felt that we should become an official 501c3 rather than just a charity, and mm-hmm. they did the paperwork, and HOBS was born.
Okay, and I believe you have an office here, but also you have representation in Washington, D.C., is that right?
That is correct, yes.
And how does that work? You have an office there in D.C., and someone kind of running the place?
Well, we share an office with our treasurer there in the suburbs of D.C. Mm-hmm. HOBS started out in Washington, D.C.
I see.
And so we still have quite a bit of work and volunteers. We're an all-volunteer organization, but we have two very active volunteers there in the D.C. area that keep things going there.
Okay, so HOBS, as I said, it stands for Helping Our Brothers and Sisters. But, you know, all of the vets groups, the DAV, the VFW, American Legion, they all help their brothers and sisters. What sets you apart from all of those groups?
Well, most people call us a niche. We primarily focus on combat veterans that have sort of fallen between the cracks, and we specialize in working with combat veterans who are identified as gay or lesbian and sometimes transgender.
I see. Okay. And so are you probably the only national group that specializes in that group, would you say?
Correct, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. How many members do you have in Nevada?
Well, depending on our events, we have at our annual event every year, which we just had this past Sunday, and we generally have 50 or 60 people who turn out, you know, but throughout the year, you know, I'd say we have 60 to 100 volunteers that do different things at different events.
Yeah. And how about in D.C.? You have a cadre of members over there?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, very good. Any chance you're going to expand to some other cities or not at the moment?
I have a volunteer who's moving to Texas who wants to start up a group there.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, very good. So it's, growth is always always a good thing, some positive growth. So you were a major in the Marines. When were you in the service?
1972 to 1986.
Okay, and where were you stationed for the most part?
Oh my, all over. For quite a few years, I did covert combat missions. We did well over 500 missions, primarily in the Asian area, okay. And also in the Middle East.
I see. Okay, and you were, I guess, yeah, if you went in the 70s, then you would have joined, or were you drafted, or you went to OCS, or all
well,
the above?
I had a very high draft number, so I would not have had to go, but while I was at college, there were a lot of protests on the campus, and I honestly didn't understand what they were protesting, and so I volunteered to go. I was hoping to go to Vietnam. Our unit in boot camp was headed to go. That was enlisted at the time. I got to Guam, but did not make it in country. They sent me on to Afghanistan back in the 70s. And then I came, I got picked up a commission. I came back and went through OCS then.
Okay, I see. Very good. Yeah, very good. Where is your home state?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, okay. What brought you to Nevada?
Well, a friend of mine back in 2013, he got elected to the state assembly, and we'd been friends for a long time, and he said he'd like some help on writing some veteran legislation for the state, and invited me out to stay in Carson City with them. He got a large place, and so I got there, and I got to know the then governor, Brian Sandoval, and got to know a lot of the folks, and I like the weather here. So
right, especially down here, not so much in Carson City, but I tell you, I tell everybody, I think Northern Nevada is a great place. There's so much history up there. But if it wasn't for the winters, I might be there, but I'll stay down here for the time being. Well, I'm going to read a little bit about your organization here. It says that it began as an annual dinner gathering held each November to honor the Marine Corps and the gay and straight veterans who have served their country. It gained 501c3 status in 2008. It evolved over time, and members discussed how to best manifest the spirit of service embodied by the United States Armed Forces. It developed into a micro-charity and helped to marginalize individuals who were in the Washington, D.C. area it helped marginalized individuals and helped them meet their short-term needs. Their focus was on all those who don't fit criteria for help from other organizations or agencies. And a sizable portion of their work involved discrimination cases, many involving torture and asylum. Donors sought a personal dimension for their giving. Instead of donating to a large organization and hoping for the best, donors wanted to know project details, how their money was spent, and who would benefit from their donations. To this day, the organization donors find satisfaction in helping specific individuals achieve independence, self-sufficiency, and a restoration of hope. So having said all that, does your organization, do you have a formal office in Southern Nevada?
No, we work out of quite a few spaces, so we try to keep our overhead low, so we don't keep an office space per se.
Mm-hmm.
But we share office space with quite a few other organizations and businesses.
I see. And most of your volunteers, are they all veterans, or just maybe in some cases they're just concerned civilians?
Correct. They're both.
They're a little of both. And you're always looking for new volunteers, I guess?
Indeed.
So for the we'll mention this later, but at the moment, though, if people want to get in touch with you or want to get more information, maybe they want to donate or maybe they want to volunteer, is there a website or an email, or what's the best way to contact you?
The best way is go to the website, www.hobs4hope.org. There is an email on there, but they can always email my personal email address, marvincarter@gmail.com, or I have a couple others, but that's probably the easiest remember.
So let's say the best one would be Hobbs for Hope, which is H-O-B-S, the numeral four, the word hope, and .org. So it's hobbsforhope.org. You can, that'll be a good start, and you can get a hold of Marvin through that website and get some emails and things like that. We are talking with Marvin Carter, Executive Director of Helping Our Brothers and Sisters, conveniently called Hobbs. Definitely a shorter version and easier to say. So do you find that you're getting more and more veterans coming into Nevada these days, or has the number of veterans dropped off?
I would say it's increased. Nevada seems to be attracting more and more veterans. I think this VA is either the second or third fastest growing VA in the whole system. So,
And it's also one of the best. A lot of the VAs back east are having lots of problems and legal problems and letting people go for not doing their job. But things are definitely much better out here at the Nevada VA.
Yes.
And along with that, with more people moving here, I know California doesn't like to admit this, But people are leaving California in large, large numbers. I've read so many stories in L.A. about where politicians say, no, they're not really leaving. You know, we got more people coming in that are leaving, but the numbers don't show that. More people are leaving. And, of course, a lot of them are coming here to Nevada. And coincidentally, a lot of them are coming to Texas as well. So if you open up there, you may see a lot of veterans from California popping into Texas there. So now you mentioned a little bit ago, you mentioned that you've got some events that you do, like a recent dinner. But what are some other events that your organization does throughout the year?
Well, throughout the year, we participate with other groups. You know, we hold a lot of smaller events throughout the year. We don't have other than the one that we hold, which is held on the Marine Corps birthday every year, exactly on 10 November, whatever day of the week that falls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the others aren't, the dates aren't set yet, but that one's fixed in stone.
Does your group take part in the stand down?
We have done that as well. Mm-hmm. We haven't done every one of them, but we generally are there. Usually working with another organization. I also do a lot of work with Dog Tags, which is a nonprofit providing service dogs to veterans.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a big area. There's several organizations that provide service dogs or that train dogs or things of that nature. And I can't help but notice you have a service dog. What's your dog's name?
His name is Semper. Semper is a rescue dog, and he's been with me now about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting a little older now. He was rescued from the street, so
I see,
and then trained. The trainer trained him for 6 months and placed him with me.
Very good. Definitely a nice looking dog down there. Doesn't not real friendly to me, but a nice looking dog anyway.
Yeah, he's getting older and he's getting a little grumpier. He doesn't used to. He stayed with me 24/7. Now it's probably more about 80% of the time.
I see. Okay, very good. So I'm going to read a little bit more here about your group. It said that your group has slowly developed into a network of connections with various local support organizations that contact you when they have clients with special needs that are not easily met by their agency social service infrastructure. And you've adopted a client process that you use till this day, initially vetting cases to ensure their legitimacy, then seeking funding for individual cases from your donor list, and finally distributing funding directly to the vendor, which provides the goods or services needed by the client, with some funding given directly to clients in certain circumstances. So let me ask you, how do you generally, when it comes to vetting cases to ensure their legitimacy, how do you vet those cases?
Typically, when I can generally pretty well, ascertain if somebody's a veteran, but we do have them to sign a release that allows me to go to the VA and work with the VA staff to understand where their case has been. Mm-hmm. We don't rule people out. We tell people, if you've got another than honorable discharge, we need to know that, but that doesn't mean we're not going to work with you.
Sure.
Where the VA can't, by law, in certain circumstances, work with people like that, we can. And then we can help evaluate and in many cases get their discharges upgraded.
Okay, very good. So, very, very good. Sure. So if you, just as an aside here, we're talking about that that item right now. If there are some veterans out there listening to the show and they need some help and they need some funding or some clothes or some food or everyday items, and maybe they have a bad discharge or maybe not, it really doesn't matter, but they can get in touch with you guys, and if it's possible, you'll be helping them out.
Correct.
Okay. So it says here that your group has supported numerous clients during your short history, most notably gay rights icon Frank Kameny, for whom you provided significant financial and emotional support during his final years. So excuse my ignorance, Marvin. I'm not familiar with Frank Kameny. Maybe you, and I'm probably a lot of our listeners that are in the same situation. Maybe you could explain who he was.
Dr. Frank Kameny had his PhD in astronomy from Harvard. He was in the Army during World War II as a soldier. He fought over in Europe. He came back, worked for the Army Mapping Agency for a while, but was dismissed because he was gay back in the late 40s. He continued to be an activist as one of, if you read gay history books, one of the early activists, and He was also very instrumental in overturning, you know, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And in fact, he was president of the Oval Office when Barack Obama, who was the president at the time, signed that.
I see.
But as he got into his 80s, he didn't have much family. He had an old sister, but they weren't exceptionally close. And so we ended up providing a lot of support to him. I'd known him for many years. And so he became our first sort of celebrity client, so to speak.
I see. Very good. And for any of our younger listeners who may not know the phrase, don't ask, don't tell, that was a law that was one of the initial laws passed on giving, restoring, what, however you say it, rights to gay people in the military, as long as they kept quiet about things and didn't tell, and as long as the officers and sergeants didn't ask, then they were allowed to stay in the military. Is that a correct definition?
It is. It was a challenging, it was a compromise with the Clinton administration and Congress at the time. It was controversial, of course, and a lot of people, you know, I testified it against it. I didn't think it would work. But it was a compromise. It was a step in the right direction. And, of course, later that was overturned and changed to where they could serve openly.
Right. Okay. And then it also says here that, of course, your group is limited in its reach, but due to considerably less administrative costs than most nonprofit groups, you've succeeded in supporting many who have had nowhere else to turn. And in 2013, you evolved to focus on those most in need, veterans, with an emphasis on those who are part of the you've got GLBT, but I guess it's
well, it's in the beginning the movement was GLBT, however later it came to be known as LGBT, but for some of us older folks,
yes,
you know, it's a hard habit to break. But,
okay. And then is there a letter Q in there somewhere?
Now they say LGBTQI, and some people add a question mark after it. There's been a lot of research on that, but it's, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So whatever it is, it all comes down to the same thing there.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
So let's see here. It says that you're also trying to help those who are living with PTSD, and you're pursuing new opportunities for supporting that underserved community. And I'll read a little bit about you here. It says the organization is the passion project of its founder, Dr. Marvin Carter. He joined the Marines in 1972, worked with the CIA and NSA in high-level intelligence capacities. You traveled to more than 70 nations in all 50 United States. You've went to a lot of diverse locations, Japan, Bolivia, Haiti, and many others. And, of course, I mentioned here that you are a doctor. You have a PhD. What discipline is that in?
It's a classified. I did a lot of work with the Defense Intelligence University and Georgetown University. Worked a lot with NSA and CIA developing some psychological programs. And so, unfortunately, most of my thesis work will remain classified. Maybe they tell me my grandchildren will be able to read it.
Okay, so when it comes to your education, it's don't ask, don't tell.
Is that correct?
Okay, very good, very good. So you also earned the Naval Aviation Observer's Badge and a Joint Services Commendation Medal and other honors, and you functioned as a mission commander in covert combat roles and risked your life every day to safeguard freedom. You also then, I guess after the military, ran a consulting company that helped others deal with their innermost personal struggles. And prior to that, you spent some years in academia and training as a teacher and as an administrator. And your commitment to activism began at a young age. Your current work is reinforced by your experiences as a soldier and as a gay man. Undergoing waterboarding and POW experiences gave you a deep personal perspective of torture and compelling, fast focus on tortured cases. Long-term effects of 14 years as a Marine, including some torture, airplane crashes, and discharge from the service for being gay, has fueled your drive for justice. So I'm curious, when back in the day when they did discharge people for being gay, what kind of a what type of a discharge did you get? I know it was not a dishonorable one, but did it have a certain name?
Correct. Back then, officers that were discharged administratively, which I was discharged administratively, it was just called an other than honorable.
Okay.
And even though the Navy psychologist that did the exit interview, you know, he thankfully put in writing that, you know, this officer definitely needs to be at the VA for help with severe PTSD. I was denied the health benefits that went with that for 25 years.
Oh, I see. Did that finally turn around, though?
It did. I got my discharge upgraded back in 2013, and then I received full VA benefits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very, very good. So so it was just called other than honorable.
Other than honorable.
I see. All right. Okay. Let's see here. You had, I guess, at the time, different intelligence agencies had you take some polygraph tests to see if your situation led you to spy and divulge government secrets, even though military skeptics admitted that, at least in your case, you were a true patriot. And your efforts to help others continued even as you coped with ravages of post-traumatic stress disorder. And it says here that you contribute a large portion of your disability compensation to helping others, continue to advocate to the highest levels of government and society for various LGBTQ and sometimes I rights, especially those of veterans. So that kind of gives a good encapsulation of a lot of the things you do. And I have some other information here, but let's see. I just want to, we're down to our last few minutes. I did want to give the information again. Anyone who wants to join or volunteer, get more information, Marvin Carter, you can go to hobsforhope.org. It's H-O-B-S, numeral 4, H-O-P-E.org. Hobsforhope.org. And that'll get you through. So over the years, since you left the service and currently, have you joined any of the other veterans organizations?
Well, I'm a lifetime member of the Marine Corps League, member of the Military Officers of America Association.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I think the American Legion. Okay. I just don't get a chance to go to all the meetings. I stay pretty busy, so
right.
But I am a lifetime member of several.
Okay, very good. I was going to ask you about some of the ones like the American Legion.
Yeah.
That's one of the major groups here. Some other information that I have is that your group has been given the gold seal of approval by a legitimate organization that verifies all that, and you're a certified combined federal campaign approved charity, and you're unique in support of primarily combat veterans who are not served by others. Is that all correct?
Correct.
Okay, and you help those veterans needing mentoring and guidance to reengage with the VA and other charities and nonprofit groups, and you're uniquely positioned to assist veterans who have experienced discrimination, especially the LGBTQI population. So when you do come across individuals, veterans, that you think maybe need some type of work and kind of that need mentoring and some guidance, as it says here, to reengage, maybe they have thoughts of suicide that you can predict, how do you go about helping them in those capacities?
Well, most of the time, a lot of them have, because of maybe their type of discharge, they've failed to even try to access their benefits. So we now work with the Nevada Department of Veterans Services very closely. Mm-hmm. We work with the VA very closely, as well as a lot of the other nonprofits. Everybody usually either finds us on the internet or they are referred to us by other organizations. Sometimes the VA health folks refer us because, as most people know, the health side can't really advocate for benefits. They have to apply
right.
Separately. So we get quite a few referrals from the VA itself.
Okay.
Because of my work in intelligence as well as my work with the LGBTQ community. We get a lot of those referrals.
Okay, great, fantastic. Well, and I know you have a lot of corporations that help you. I'm going to list some of them here. I guess they're still involved with you.
Yes.
Cox Communications, yeah. Finley Chevy, Walmart, Caesars, PDQ Printing of Las Vegas, CPA John Wall, Martin and Associates, State Farm Insurance Agent Gregory Moore, Amazon, Morton's and Fleming Steakhouses. You also enjoy the generous support of terrific individuals and, of course, the veterans that we help continue to give back and pay it forward. So anyone out there who wants to give them some help, either in, I guess they can do like-kind donations,
oh,
maybe
indeed.
With office supplies and non-perishable food and maybe some clothing for some of the vets and anything along those lines. Oh, there you go. I don't know if that picked up on the mic here. You got Semper here making some noises. He wants to be interviewed too. But I don't know if he'd be able to give us the kind of verbiage that we're looking for here on this show. So, well, that's interesting that you have an office here and an office in back in Washington, D.C. And do you find that in D.C. especially? I think here in Nevada, you mentioned that you had worked in the past with Governor Sandoval to an extent, and I know you've worked with Nevada Department of Veterans Services. But being back in Washington, when right in the cradle of our political existence, do a lot of the elected officials out there help your organization?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Anyone you want to mention, or not particularly?
Well, none of them are currently holding office because we're not quite as active there as we used to be. We take part in some things because, like where Dr. Kameny is buried in the Congressional Cemetery, there was a ceremony there on Monday, and we own that gravesite where he's buried. So.
Okay.
We participate there, but certainly the mayor, they have a great Department of Veteran Services in D.C. as well, and I've worked closely with them over the years.
Very good, very good. Well, we've been talking with Dr. Marvin Carter, who is the head of the Helping Our Brothers and Sisters organization, otherwise known as HOBS, H-O-B-S, and they'll work with anybody who needs help, but especially combat veterans, LGBTQ veterans, and of the veterans that you work with, you're a Marine vet, but of all the people that you've been working with locally, is there one service in particular that you've had that have more people coming to you, or is it kind of evenly divided by all the services?
Pretty much all the services, a smattering of all of them, a little fewer Coast Guard. We've only had one or two,
An Army, Marines and Air Force are
correct.
Pretty
well represented.
All the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Marvin, I'd like to thank you for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Same here. And, folks, when it comes to, HOBS and helping brothers and sisters, that's America to me.
That's America to me.
Thank you for listening. Chuck N. Baker will return next week with another edition of That's America to Me, a public service of Lotus Broadcasting in Las Vegas, Nevada.